The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's the Bob McCowan Podcast, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download their online casino and sportsbook app today.
It's the Bob McCowan Podcast with John Shannon, and here he is. Well,
hi,
Blue Jays. I'm all right. The Blue Jays were looking for a sweep of Seattle last night, and it fell apart in the 10th inning. They were 1-1 going to the 10th and gave up 5, and that was it. We'll talk about it today. Jamie Campbell will join us on the show.
Yeah, tell you what, Bob, though, that's the third, I think, the third really good start again from their pitchers. When you think about Berríos, went 6 2/3.
Oh, I know.
Bassett went 6 2/3. And Kikuchi yesterday went 6 full innings. And he was impressive. 9 strikeouts.
Yeah, there's no question. I don't want to diminish the significance of that from the Blue Jays' perspective. But Seattle is not a good offensive team. And they were not hitting well coming into this series. So it really isn't all that surprising to me. What was more shocking was that Seattle scored 5 in the 10th.
Yes.
Well, that surprised me.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that with Jamie Campbell,
okay.
The host of Blue Jays Central on Rogers Central, with Bob and me after this.
Hi, this is Bob McCowan for BetRivers.com. Hey, if you're looking for a sports book or casino app, you should check out the BetRivers Sports and Casino app today. Play all of your favorite casino games for real money anywhere and anytime. Plus, get in the action with each sports game with hundreds of sports betting options. And get ready to feel like a VIP because you'll earn both loyalty level points and bonus store points on every real money wager you make. You must be 19 plus, available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you have questions or concerns about your gambling or someone close to you, contact Connex Ontario at 1-866-531-2600 or speak to an advisor free of charge. BetRivers.com.
Welcome back to the podcast. It's a Thursday. That means an off day for the Toronto Blue Jays, joined by Rogers Sportsnet's baseball guru host, Jamie Campbell. Hey, Jamie, before we talk baseball, we have kept track of your health issues over the last couple of years. How are you feeling?
Feeling great. Good to see you guys. There are very few changes to my day-to-day, thanks to the miracle of modern medicine. I'm currently surviving leukemia. It's an incurable form that I have, and it will come back. So for now, I'm doing very well. 4 or 5 years from now, I might not be doing so well. So I'm embracing the days now while I can.
So I'm just curious, when you say modern medicine, is that diet in addition to, do you have, what's your daily regimen? How has it changed since, you were eating fast food and French fries with me?
Yeah. Yeah. My diet has changed significantly. I gravitate toward a lot of organic food and organic juices, just to fortify my body as much as I can. I'm on a medication that's called a BTK inhibitor that essentially holds off the progress of the leukemia, but it can't hold it off forever. And when that day comes where it does come rushing back, there will be other treatments available to me. So it pays to pay attention to all the wonderful details of every day, as I'm sure you both know.
Well, yeah. I tell you what, you're the second leukemia patient to be on the show this month.
Oh,
Kelly Chase in St. Louis. It's Kelly Chase in St. Louis has leukemia.
Yes, he does.
And by the way, they just raised $600,000 at a charity hockey game in St. Louis for leukemia research. So
I saw that. I follow the NHL alumni on Instagram. It's quite something that they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now let's get to the serious stuff now. How about those Blue Jays?
The same story, isn't it, that we saw last year? You know, there was an instance there where they won the first two against Seattle. And I remember on opening day, the enthusiasm wasn't quite there because they came back from this road trip at 4-6. And even 4-6 was flattering. It seems they played worse than a 4-6 team on that trip. And yet there they go and win opening day. And then they come back in the second game and they look reasonably well. And the pitching is as good as predicted, but I don't know. This team is amazing. They frustrate you to no end because it appears they've got a lineup that could potentially do some damage and you know, force their way back into a playoff position at the end of the year. But hard to tell these days.
Let me tell you the problem I see. Mm-hmm. We are all old enough. We have all seen many, many great baseball teams. Mm-hmm. And there are a few things that we saw that were just obvious. And that is, you could go to the ballpark and almost every day you knew what the lineup was going to be. Almost every day was the same. And it doesn't matter what team it was, whether it was the Blue Jays or somebody else. Even on not so good teams, the lineup was the same every day. And we don't have that in Toronto right now. And that is deliberate. You know, it's not by accident in many respects. I understand, you know, injuries will cause change. But the Blue Jays, their philosophy is they decide daily who is going to play and who's going to play where. It's not health reasons. It's philosophical. And I disagree with that fundamentally. I wonder what you think.
You know, what's confusing that situation right now, Bob, is that if you were to take any of the major offensive categories right now and go from top to bottom, most of their most productive hitters right now are guys who don't play every day. So I'm talking about people like Davis Schneider, who's never guaranteed a spot in the lineup every day. And Kevin Biggio, who's never guaranteed a spot in the lineup every day. Yeah. And Ernie Clement. All of your bottom hitters right now from, let's say, an on-base plus slugging percentage are names like Dalton Varsho and George Springer and Alejandro Kirk. You know, Alejandro Kirk, who leads the team in RBIs, but I think he's hitting something like .140. So yeah. What's happened, and this is a carryover, as you guys know from last year, is all of the players that are supposed to be leading the way, you know, the guy getting $150 million, for example, at the top of the order, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who hit a very important home run yesterday, yes, but is hitting somewhere around 200 if we dig out that old batting average statistic. Those are the guys that aren't quote unquote doing their jobs. So I think the manager at this point has no choice but to find ways of inserting Davis Schneider, Ernie Clement, Kevin Biggio, these guys who don't play every day, and yet when they do play, seem to come up with big hits.
Well, so, let me ask you a couple of questions. Who is the third baseman for the Blue Jays?
Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who?
Really? How many games has he started there?
I off the top of my head, I don't know, but not everyone. And oddly, right? Oddly, he's come around in the last 3 or 4 days. I think he sits fourth in OPS on this team. Fourth.
Yeah. But ahead of Vladdy. we know that Henny is not his forte.
No, and it's never going to be.
Who is take what you get baseman? From him. Who is the second baseman for this team?
I don't know. Kevin Biggio?
Right? He's the best, I think. Well, by the way, every day.
By the way, who finished at second base yesterday? IKF finished at second base yesterday.
Was it yesterday? He certainly did the day before.
Yeah.
See, that's what I think is the problem. You don't know who's going to play where. I think, you know, historically, I've got 70 years of watching baseball. I've never seen an organization that is supposed to be as good as the Blue Jays with this kind of rotation in their daily lineup. Never, ever. The Blue Jays have never done it.
You're right. But you know, some of the lineups you're recalling had a level of depth at the bottom that was so strong that there was no reason to move and shift guys throughout the order, even as far back as that team in 2015 and 2016, where you could plug Donaldson, Bautista, right, Encarnacion, and Russ Martin into sort of the 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe mix and match down below. But to me, it's that middle of the order that has to stay intact and yeah, should every single day.
Those teams, they rotated the batting order a little bit. But these guys all played 150 games. Mm-hmm. That was the plan, right?
Yep.
You knew who the third baseman was. You knew who was the second base. That's why on baseball cards, they have the positions right there. Mm-hmm. The Blue Jays have three or four guys. They have no position. They play a bunch of places.
So I think that part of the reason this is happening is because when Matt Chapman was the third baseman, his position in the lineup was assured, and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa's is not because of the bat, right?
But they don't have a second baseman either.
That is true too.
You know, and they rotate in right field. They rotate in center field. Eventually, they will be rotating a catcher when Jansen is healthy enough to come back.
Yep.
You know, this is a philosophy, in my opinion. This is not circumstantial.
But also brought upon by poor results. Like, look at how lost at the plate. Look at how lost at the plate Kevin Kiermaier appears to be right now. I know it's early, but he's a mess at the plate, but he's still a gold glove caliber center fielder. So, you know, to take away that aspect for a team whose accent is on quote unquote run prevention, right? Mm-hmm. They have made that very clear that run prevention is a priority. Well, you know, we were yakking the other day on the show that maybe they should concentrate more on just trying to score 7 and preventing the other team from doing so.
Yeah.
To that point though, Jamie, and we've touched on this a few times in the last 3 or 4 weeks, is you're supposed to get more than 40 home runs out of your outfield. And I'm starting to think now that 40 might be aggressive.
You might not get 40.
40 home runs out of your outfield might be aggressive. I mean, George Springer should get 20 to 25. He should. Yeah. But, you know.
Dalton Varsho should hit 20. Dalton Varsho should hit at least 20. He hit 27 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Don't bring up 2 years ago, because that's what made him attractive to the Jays. So
right.
So that's when you're talking about run prevention versus creating runs. This whole team is kind of topsy turvy to where it was when we thought this was the second coming of the Bash Brothers. We were getting home runs all the time, and it's amazing the way the philosophy has changed, and maybe it's me, but it seems to have happened in such a rapid progression. It seems to have changed a lot quicker than a lot of people have realized.
Well, yes. And I wonder if some of that has to do with the inability to produce a potent bat or two in the system itself, right? So So Vladimir
what do you
Guerrero
mean by that? What do you mean by that?
Well, look at the Baltimore Orioles right now. So the Baltimore Orioles are promoting these kids who've developed in their system, who are legitimate 30 home run hitters. Gunnar Henderson, Westberg, you know, they just called up yesterday Jackson Holliday, who's 20 years of age, and he's going to be a player. You know, as the Blue Jays go, they have this wonderful hitter in Bo Bichette who came through the system, who's not supposed to be a 30 to 40 home run guy. I'm sure he could if he set his mind to it, but he'll admit to you freely, he's more of a spray hitter. He loves to go to the opposite field and tries not to pull the baseball. And then you've got Vladdy, who, based on what we saw in 2021, should be your middle of the order threat, like your Aaron Judge. But he hasn't been for three years.
Let me put it this way. Since Bichette and Guerrero, who on this team has come out through the system? Who?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. Nobody.
Nobody.
Right? No.
Not one guy in about 7 years.
Nope.
Has come through the system and made this team. One player.
Not a guy who you could consider a middle of the order all-star caliber player.
Not a regular player. Not a regular player. Because I mean,
Alejandro Kirk has come through the system, but he's not that player. And he may not actually be an everyday catcher. Right?
Okay.
I mean, look at how tough a time he's having right now.
We waited 12 minutes to talk about Moreno's, put Moreno's name in here, and he's the one guy and not here.
No.
Right. No. So, but
he was their best prospect since Guerrero and Bichette, right?
That's right. Yes, absolutely. Yep. So I want to go back to your Orioles point, because lots of people bring up the Orioles and they look jealously now what's going on at Camden Yards and what they're doing on a daily basis and their roster and how they play the game. But here's a team in Baltimore that made the playoffs four times since 1997. They were shit for a long time.
Yeah.
Off for a long time. The Jays were never that bad.
And that's the thing.
And so mediocrity has put the Jays in this position, not going back down to the studs and starting from scratch.
Right, which the Orioles did, and because they did that, they were able to get... I didn't even mention Adley Rutschman's name. Right. I mean, that kid's on a Hall of Fame track, for goodness sake. I mean, the wealth of pure hitters they seem to have on that team is ridiculous. It's something the Blue Jays don't have, and the only way really to get it, if you can't develop it, is go out and buy it and spend money.
Or do what Houston did. Do what Houston did is go be brutal for 4 years.
Right. I don't think this ownership wants to allow that. I think their idea is we need to stay as competitive as possible for as long as possible. We're a $200 million payroll team. We can't afford to become the Pittsburgh Pirates for 3 years.
Yeah. And that is a philosophy.
Yeah,
that is a philosophy.
And remember what I said earlier about the accent on run prevention. Well, they addressed that by going and getting Kevin Gausman long term, going and getting Jose Berrios, and then signing him long term, going and getting Yusei Kikuchi on a 3-year deal. Prior to that, it was Hyunjin Ryu on a 4-year deal. So when you're going to commit that kind of payroll to pitching, and let's be honest, it's been excellent. Overall, it's going to impact how you can go and spend money on the free agent market when what you really need is a Corey Seager, Cody Bellinger type who's going to step into the lineup and terrorize pitchers.
Yeah,
but how can you make a commitment to spend $500+ million on Ohtani, which they did? Mm-hmm. And then turn around and let Chapman walk.
My personal opinion, Bob, is that Matt Chapman had absolutely no desire to come back here. I've heard people say there was something not right about his position in the clubhouse last year. He and I bonded a little bit over lacrosse, of all things, and I brought a lacrosse stick down to the Rogers Center, and every now and then, 5 hours before a game, we'd go out and toss the old Indian rubber ball around.
Wow.
And I just think he's a California guy. He wanted to be closer to home. I think there might have been an invisible line down in the middle of that clubhouse, and he was on one side of it and some others were on the other side. You know, everybody asks about, well, where's the jacket? Well, I can tell you, Matt Chapman wasn't into throwing a jacket on when he'd hit a home run, right? There are quirks in this game. There are clubhouse dynamic, right? I don't think he was coming back. They could offer him $500 million, and I'm not sure he would have taken it. I just, that's my opinion.
Yes, he would.
Okay, yes, he would. But you know what I'm saying. He had choice. He was a free agent.
Hey, Bob, for $500 million, you might have even considered signing with the Jays.
Well, let's think about that. You know, maybe.
But he's having trouble walking, right? Not a good choice.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, then, okay, 450. All right. Hey, we're with Jamie Campbell. We'll discuss a few more things about this roster, about the Jays, and maybe touch on a couple of other stories in Major League Baseball on the McCowan Podcast after this.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Jamie Campbell from Sportsnet, the host of Blue Jays Central. In many ways now, I as a hockey guy, I'm going to say this, the number one property on Sportsnet is the Toronto Blue Jays because it's consistently a better ratings driver. So you've got to be pleased where the fan following across the country, Jamie. By the way, did you do your Canadian tour? Were you out west at all?
They didn't do it this year because they had an all hands on deck edict inside the organization when it came to completing the renovations. So what I was told was no winter tour because all of the people who would normally be committed to making it happen need to be around to help ensure that this renovation project gets completed. And I completely understand that. So unfortunately, no. We didn't do it this year. I did a little personal one with Jose Barrios and Jose Bautista out to Saskatoon. But other than that, there was no tour.
I got to tell you, I spent a lot of time in the West this winter. And other than the local hockey team, the Jays are the second conversation every time. There is a bond between this baseball club and this country like no other. It is impressive. This really happened.
I've noticed it for years, John. I think that bond will remain intact regardless of performance because I've seen it, right? And I've been part of this broadcast when they were an horrific team. You know, 2017, for example, comes to mind. And you know, those years that followed those two playoff appearances. And what normally happens, even from a ratings perspective, is that the ratings stay extremely consistently strong because it's still a pastime. It's still something to flick on in the evening when you're preparing your dinner and something to keep an eye on whether they're winning or not winning. And, you know, it's a gift to know that there's going to be a loyal audience there, whether they're performing or not.
Do you think the $300 or $400 million that they spend on the stadium has impacted their budget for the team?
No, I don't.
They're totally separate.
I do, but I also think let's be honest, I think the renovation was absolutely necessary unless you were going to blow the place up, relocate somewhere else for a year, and build on that site because you would both agree.
How about 3 years?
It's the or whatever it might have been, yeah. Right? I mean, I know there was a project in place for a very brief time where they were going to do what the St. Louis Cardinals do and build half of the stadium closer to where the Gardner Expressway is, wait for the season to end, blow up the current dome, and then construct the second half, hopefully over the winter, which the Cardinals actually did. And I think you'd both agree, where located right now is the perfect spot. There's no reason to go and build some monstrosity out in the suburbs. They are in the perfect spot. And the renovation is absolutely necessary. You know, where their payroll sits right now, I think, Bob, is an indication that committing the money they did to the building hasn't impacted the commitment to payroll.
Why did this team not go out and get an outfielder who could hit? Why? We know that they had an outfield problem. They didn't have a lot of outfielders they thought could play. I don't even know who the fourth outfielder really is. There isn't one, is there?
Is no,
there?
No.
It's whoever.
It's Kevin Biggio. He plays everywhere.
It's David Snyder and Kevin Biggio, right?
That's it. That's my point.
Remember they had a guy named Teoscar Hernandez who struck out a lot, but, you know, he was good for 35 home runs.
Yeah, they had a left fielder who was pretty good too.
Yes, they did.
He wasn't great defensively, but so what?
He was also right. They needed left. Remember,
left-handed hitting.
Remember how badly they needed a left-handed presence in the lineup. And
well, they thought so.
Dalton Varsho was a left-handed guy who could apparently hit you 25 home runs and play stud defense. And that cost you Gurriel and a guy who will probably be a backstop for the Diamondbacks for 15 years. Yeah, who's better
than the two guys they got right now, right? Come on.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm not arguing with you. I'd love to say Danny Jansen is.
But Danny is hurt all the time.
I'm not going to say
all the time.
All the time. It's not always his fault because he seems to be a bit of a magnet.
I like Jansen too, but.
And he's going to. And they could lose him at the end of the year. Remember, he's a free agent.
And Jansen's expected back by the weekend. Is that fair, or is he's gonna catch two more games in Buffalo?
There's never a baseball's a tough one. They can say 15 days and 15 turns into 30 just like that.
Because that to me is one of the issues right now. Because Handro Kirk, I'm not sure how many more games he can catch. I mean, this is
right.
The wear and tear on him is an issue at this point. If Jansen's not back quickly, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah. I think we're starting to see even this early in the season that he may not be capable of being a quote unquote number one. And with all due respect to Brian Servin, there isn't seemingly a viable backup who could take over 2 or even 3 days a week. So, Jano can't get back quick enough.
They don't think there is. That's all that really matters, right?
Yeah.
What about Romero? Romano, sorry. Where's Jordan Romano on all this?
So I think he's Buffalo bound as of today. So he would be close. Swanson would be close. Could have certainly used those guys in that last loss to Seattle. But, injuries are a thing with respect to pitchers throughout baseball right now. It's insane how many guys are going down. The Blue Jays, for the most part, haven't been hit that hard. Not as hard as, say, Cleveland with Shane Bieber or Spencer Strider's situation in Atlanta. So, hopefully in the next week or two, both Romano the other guy, it's been a long day, are coming back at some point. Eric Swanson.
Swanson. Let me ask you this question. I was watching the ninth inning yesterday, and God, I love the way Garcia pitches in spurts.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
He's impressive.
Yeah.
Is there, he pitches a much higher velocity than Romano does. Do you think there's any chance that Garcia becomes the closer?
Ooh, that's a great question. And that velocity is kind of new. Like, we were seeing 99 yeah. from him. And I recall a year ago, it was sort of a somewhere between 95 and 97. But I can't believe we're focusing so greatly on velocity when it, you know, when it seems to become, as someone described the other day, a pandemic. But either way.
Sorry, I was going to say velo.
Velo, yeah. That's what the kids say.
Yeah. John, so I know he gave up a bad home run, but
yeah.
But I just wonder now if they're actually trying to figure out whether Garcia can be the closer and what to do with Jordan Romano.
I don't think he will be, and I say that because you know how baseball works. If you've done it in the past, if it's been your role in the past, they don't take right. that role away from you when you get hurt. So it would be right for Romano, when he's ready, to be reinstated as the closer. And then Swanson, you can figure out, right? Swanson might be a better sort of sixth or seventh inning guy if the heart of the order is coming up for the opposition. And then you can bring Garcia in the eighth to sort of lay waste to the bottom of the order and give Romano that opportunity to do what he has been doing quite well for several years. So I don't think you're going to see a reversal of roles there. That's not really how it works. If the guy's been doing the job and gets hurt, when he's back, you make sure he is put back in the position in which he excelled.
Just a small point regarding them putting in Mesa in the 10th inning.
Yeah, it was Mesa.
The first two Seattle hitters were both right-handed, correct?
Yeah, Cal Raleigh is a switch hitter, but I think he's less impactful from the right side, which was the reason to turn him around there.
But still, why would you bring a left-hander in that situation? Wouldn't you rather have a right-hander?
Mitch White?
Well, right? he didn't pitch well, but whatever.
No. So we joked at the end of the game about how what a shame that, you know, Jimmy Garcia can't give you four innings.
Right.
Because those two that he pitched, he was virtually untouchable. But the previous night, you'd used Chad Green for the second time at 20-plus right. pitches.
I get it.
You'd used, who am I missing? One other arm more than you needed to on back-to-back days. The bullpen was on fumes. Trevor Richards
right.
had gone on back-to-back days, right? And you don't want to abuse those arms so early in the year whereby they just, you know, they lose all effectiveness by the middle of the summer. But their tendency is to try and do that because of the absence of Romano and Swanson. So I think it was inevitable that Tim Mesa was going to get the 10th inning because they really didn't have any options. And you know, with all due respect to Mitch White, you know, I don't think Mitch White versus Cal Raleigh is a favorable matchup because Mitch White just, I mean, look, he's a go-between. He's a starter turned long reliever. He's not a late inning, we're tied, 10th inning kind of guy. And at the very least, Tim Mesa's had some of those quote unquote high leverage opportunities. But as Joe pointed out, you know, his velocity is down, his sharpness is down, and it was evident in spring training. So I mean Tim Mazes. There's something not right with Mesa right now. And that was evident even before yesterday's game.
And let's face it, everybody's happy Cal Raleigh's out of town anyway. Because this guy eats up the Jays, doesn't he?
That's 9 home runs. For a guy that plays in the American League West, that's 9 home runs against an American League East team. And I think the second place team in that category is about 3 or 4 home runs fewer than what he's done against this club. It's incredible.
Yeah. Well.
All right. Hey, okay. Before we let you go, expectations against Colorado. Colorado's not a good team.
No,
they're not. And obviously the Jays are a much better team at home than they were on their 10-game road trip. So this team kind of is stabilizing itself now, despite the fact of that Yeah, and it's too bad because Kikuchi had a good start yesterday. Let's face it,
he did. Yep. And you know who didn't have a good start on that road trip in New York was Kevin Gausman, uncharacteristically. Yeah. And he's got the opener on Friday against Colorado. And what we've seen of Gausman in the past is every time he comes up with a stinker, he comes back with seven shutout innings. Yeah. So I would consider, as I called them last night, again, with all due respect, Colorado's a bottom feeder right now. So yeah. To me, not taking at least two of three in this series would be a disappointment.
I agree.
Oh, and by the way, Alec Manoah is going to pitch in Buffalo on Saturday?
I would assume he is. I saw him the other day. I didn't ask. He's a mystery. I love the kid. Love the kid. I mean, you'd never know it. Him walking around on the field at the Rogers Center, he's a joy to be with. You know, he's kind and considerate to everybody, but there's something not right with a guy who was so spectacular 2 years ago, and I hope he finds his way back. I really do.
Yep.
Crazy.
By
the way, I got to ask, what's with the T-shirt? I mean, you're wearing a Vancouver Canucks T-shirt and
Ron Settlebauer.
Ron Settlebauer. My goodness gracious.
So quick stories. So the first NHL game I ever went to was in Toronto against the Vancouver Canucks. It would have been 72 or 73. And I was an impressionable young man who absolutely fell in love with the Canucks because of these jerseys, these ones, these blue babies right here.
Yeah.
And I was mesmerized by them for years. My favorite player was a guy named Jocelyn Gabermoy. And I later found out that Ron Settlebauer retired and got into the shoe industry and worked with my father. And so that's my homage to one of my dad's former co-workers.
Was that Cougar Shoes
in Burlington, Ontario? Yeah. And every time we drive by it on the QEW, I'd say, hey, Dad, can we pop into Cougar? I want to meet Ron Settlebauer. And he'd say, no, I'm sure he's busy.
Well, I knew there had to be a good story, Jamie. There had to be a good story. That was, by the way, that one day when we have a coffee in Oakville, we'll have to, we can reminisce about that team because that was my team. And you know what we'll do? We'll phone Kenny Lockett and we'll have Kenny Lockett come and have coffee with us too. Because Spider Lockett was the backup goalie in 75 and Kenny lives in the neighborhood. And
really?
Sure. Yeah. So we can have a Canuck reunion and then just sit and enjoy coffee all day.
You know, can I tell you, I was a guest in the Canucks alumni suite 2 winters ago, and I was kind of keeping things to myself when Jerry O'Flaherty walked in, and he came up to me and said, Mr. Campbell, I just wanted to say it's a pleasure to meet you. We're big fans. And I said, Jerry, you have no idea how excited I am right now to meet you. And he was stunned. He was absolutely stunned.
Okay, so I'm sorry to do this, Bob. I know this will drive you nuts. But Jerry O'Flaherty centered a line. He wore 23. Somebody wore 24, and the other guy wore 22. Can you remember?
Was Vervegaard on that?
No, Vervegaard wore 10. So Greg Body wore 22.
Yeah.
Flaherty wore 23 and Gary Monahan wore 24.
Gary Monahan. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's my vintage, Jamie. That's my vintage.
I can tell. Mine too. That's why I got the shirt. Right.
Good for you. All right. Hey, thanks for this. Stay healthy, man.
Great to see you.
Thanks, pal. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, my love to you both.
Thanks.
Jamie Campbell, Rogers Sportsnet, the host of Blue Jays Central. Bob and I'll be back after this. I can tell your eyes were glazing over when we discussed the Vancouver Canucks there, Bob. So, sorry.
No, my eyes were closed. I was sleeping.
as we record this, we are still in rain delay at the Masters. What's your bet, Bob, that they can finish the first round today? What's your gut say?
I doubt it. You never know, but I doubt it. Yeah. I think they'll have to start too late.
The last
I'm group told to they will start now. Around noon, right?
The last group to tee off today will be around 4:30 Eastern time.
That's hard to finish. It's almost impossible.
Yeah, sunset will occur just after 8 o'clock tonight. So
that's 3.5 hours, right?
Nobody wants to play in the dark.
Well, and they can't play in 3.5 hours in Augusta. Yeah, it'll be closer to 5, maybe 6 hours. So, the guys, they'll be have to play a few holes tomorrow in addition to the round.
That's assuming that the weather delay allows them to actually start and not stop, right?
Right, exactly. Well, I'm told that the weather is supposed to be okay from noon on. No more rain.
I can tell you what, it's supposed to be spectacular Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah,
so but windy. But windy Friday for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
We'll see how it goes. It's a great time of year, isn't it?
I've got my little thermos of coffee ready. I've got a couple sandwiches ready to go. Once they start playing golf, I'm going to be sitting in the office watching all day. It'll be fun.
Well, have a cheese sandwich and pretend you're in Augusta.
And what's the other one?
That's what they serve on the course.
Is it pimento?
Pimento sandwich? Cheese sandwich. When I went there, it was $1.
$1.50 now. It's $1.50.
Yeah.
Beer.
It costs $1 million for tickets, but on the course, everything is reasonably inexpensive. It's amazing.
Well, I got to get there one day.
You really must. Do. It's fantastic, John, honestly.
All right. Okay, Robert. Deitch tomorrow.
Have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow. Right.
Yes, sir. Thanks for listening or watching the McCowan Podcast.
It's the Bob McCowan Podcast, brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download their online casino and sportsbook app today.